speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We want to consider this afternoon the importance of being honest. In Romans 13, verse 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul informs us, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." It has always proved interesting that the sins the Apostle Paul enumerates in these verses are set in contradistinction to the walking honestly, walking honestly with God and with our fellow man. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ involves walking honestly in the world. But it is not easy to be honest either with God or man. Rarely do any of us really face up to the actualities in our lives. Or to state it another way, we even find it difficult to be honest with ourselves. But whom do we think we are fooling? Surely we know that we cannot fool God. We do not often succeed in fooling others very long, and most certainly we are aware of the difference between the ought and the is in our own lives. Is it that we believe God is very lax, or that we are guilty of presuming upon His grace and His mercy, and we salve our consciences with a feeling that He either does not know the truth about us, or that He does not care? Sadly, many professing Christians try to sweep their sins under the rug as they assume a hypocritical air of innocence. They go on their willful, sinful way, but God sees no rug for the sins to be swept under. What He sees is the unconfessed, unrepented sins that form a barrier between man and God. These sins may be sins of the heart, such as unbelief, or pride, or jealousy, or envy. Or they may be sins of the flesh, such as lust, intemperance, love of money, dishonesty. This failure to be honest either with God, or man, or ourselves is a continuing source of unhappiness, frustration, and ineffectiveness for professing Christians. And it will remain that way until we learn the biblical lesson of the importance of being completely, totally, fully honest. When we learn the lesson of full honesty and face up to and confess all our sins, again, whether they be of thought or word or deed, then we can find the peace of mind and the spirit that we so desperately need. It is the first real step to a life of usefulness as a child of God. Psalms 139 tells us that God knows our every thought. He knows our motive. He knows everything there is to know about us. By inspiration, David writes, "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Again, that being Psalms 139, verse 2, 3, and 4. There is simply no place to which we can go and escape God. The darkness cannot hide us. "Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee." Verse 12 of Psalms 139. Is it no wonder then that David ends his psalm by saying, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Verse 23 and verse 24. Our unwillingness to be honest with God may come from our failure to really realize that there is an all-seeing eye. The writer to the Hebrews said, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Hebrews 4, verse 13. For those who have not been honest with God, this might be a frightening thought. But it should not be so for the Christian. Far from it, it should be comforting to know that God, who knows and sees into the very depths of our heart, sees our desires for righteousness, and meets those desires with His promised help. But that real desire must be there, manifest in obedience to His will in our lives. We cannot rationally expect to be the recipients of His blessings while we remain alienated from Him because of our willful, unconfessed, unrepented of sins. Even though our fellow men do not possess the all-seeing eye of God, we cannot really expect for very long to succeed in pulling the rug over their eyes. I'm reminded of a true story I read of a group of young school teachers who were taking a routine efficiency test. When they came to part three, they found a long list of book titles, authors, with the instruction, check the books you have read. Later, the examiner, scoring the papers, discovered that one-third of the teachers had checked almost every book on the list. Some had checked everyone. The results did not mean that these teachers were well-read. They meant that they were liars because 25 of the 50 titles did not even exist as books. They had been invented by the examiners as a means of checking the truthfulness as well as the efficiency of these young teachers. They were not being honest with themselves or with their examiners, but I'm sure that some of them must have been incensed when they found out what had happened. And isn't it just like us to want to blame someone else, everyone else, or anyone else, just not assume the responsibility ourselves? Well, David knew the difference between being honest with God and trying to hide his sins. When he prayed, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults," Psalms 19, verse 12, he was admitting the tendency to think that things done in secret, unknown to other men, are also unknown to God. In the 32nd Psalm, he tells of the anguish of soul he suffered when he did not confess his sins. And he tells also the joy and the peace that came with honestly facing reality. He wrote, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." Psalm 32, verse 1 through verse 5. What we are in our hearts, God knows. So why do we foolishly pretend that we are something else? We often are successful in deceiving others, but we can never deceive God. If we want forgiveness, we must be honest with God. But how are we dishonest with God? One, think about our prayers. When we pray, "Forgive our sins," do we not often hurry by or gloss over the lustful thought and pretend it has escaped God's notice? Do we not conveniently ignore the dishonest act, the cutting of a corner in a business deal, rather than explicitly confessing it for what it is, sin? Do we not often harbor envy or jealousy or even hatred against someone and fail to confess it as a specific sin, to treat it as if it were no sin or little consequence? We cannot be honest with God in our lives without confessing and without repenting, stating these sins specifically and truly turning from them to do God's will. But because these essentials are evaded in our lives, we remain weak, we remain unhappy, often disturbed, and ineffective. There can be no power in prayer if between us and God there stands unconfessed, unrepented sin. God has never promised to forgive the unconfessed sin or that one from which we refuse to repent. Long ago the psalmist wrote, Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." The confession of the guilt is the door to forgiveness for the Christian. Repentance is a sure way to be heard. And we are not honest with God until we are truly willing to submit to His will in every area of our lives. Christ did not come to redeem us so that we should live our lives according to our own desires. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God wants the best for His children, and that the best is found only in conforming to His will. There's no honesty in thinking we can hold to God with one hand while we cling to the world and to sin with the other. Honesty demands that we obey Him in every plan, and that we obey Him in every part of our lives. We're not honest with ourselves until we admit the enormity of our sinfulness, and that by ourselves, of our own strength, unaided by God, we cannot make it. To be honest, we not only admit our sinfulness and our weakness, but we confess those specifically. We realize God's desire for our well-being. We realize His love and His mercy are beyond our full understanding. We realize that our forgiveness is found in Christ Jesus our Lord, who is our hope. And to presume upon the grace and the mercy of God without confessing and repenting only adds sin to sin. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And yet, aren't we often guilty of claiming mercy and forgiveness without giving honest thought to open and full confession? What a terrible thought it is to suppose that we can persist in our sin and lay claim to God's grace at the same time. If we want God's forgiveness, then we simply must be honest with ourselves and honest with God. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Don't you realize that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment? Have you repented of your sins through your faith in Christ? Have you confessed the sweet name of Jesus? Have you been buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins? If you'll be honest with yourselves and read and study God's Word, you'll find that these are God's terms for being adopted into His family. And then by faithful Christian living and worshiping and serving, heaven will be our home.